Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Tonight, it's the final episode of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, where we celebrate the fact that we fixed America. That's right, all the problems are solved and it's time to move on. Mission accomplished. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
For coming out and for tuning in, especially tonight, because this is the final episode of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And it's not just that, it's also a celebration. You know, because when I started this show, I had three clear goals. I was like, I'm gonna make sure Hillary gets elected, I'm gonna make sure that I prevent a global pandemic from starting, and I'm gonna become best friends with Kanye West. So. I think it's time to move on. But before we do that, for one last time, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's episode. All right, people, let's do this. This is it, my final show. And I've got a ton of cleanup to do so I can get the security deposit back in the studio. But, before I head out, what better way to spend it than to check in with all of my favorite people and all of your favorite correspondents one last time, starting with my very favorite, Michael Costa, everybody! Michael Costa, great to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
One last time, man, what is going on in the market today?
Trevor, I'm crushing it, and I mean crushing it, okay? But tonight, I'm also crushed. Because this is our last time together on The Daily Show. So I'm not gonna talk about the market tonight, because as much as I love numbers, there's a different N-word I love even more. Nostalgia.
Oh, thank God, Trevor, nostalgia.
Trevor, yeah, nostalgia. Yeah, Trevor, right. This is a chart of our friendship, okay? 6 years. 6 years of African-American relations, all right? Now, right here, this is the high point. We got off to a good start because you hired me, right? Which meant I could stop sleeping in my shitty old Honda Civic. And now look at me. I'm sleeping in a freaking Tesla, baby, right? Yeah. And every morning I wake up, I see where the autopilot mode brought me, I have a nice big cup of coffee, and I clean the blood off my tires, and that's thanks to you, my man, so.
Well, for the job, yeah. For the job, yeah, but not thanks to me for the blood.
No, I do. That blood is on your hands, for real. But of course. Now here is the first time you let me onto the show with a chart that looked like a butthole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did that a lot,
And here, okay, here is the time you let me on the show with a different chart that looks like a butthole.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. It was
but
a
the
lot.
One that's most important to me, Trevor, is this one up here, okay? Because this is the time you let me on the show with a chart that looked like a penis, and this was a total game changer for me, Trevor. Yeah, and look, there were some tough times too, okay? I mean, this is when COVID hit, you know? And that wasn't easy. You were doing the show from your apartment. I was in the office every day because I didn't get that email. But that was a lonely 2 years. But look, that's the beauty of our friendship, Trevor. In fact, I made a chart to illustrate it, okay? Some days are good. Let's be honest, some days are bad. But true friendship, that's the sweet spot in between. And it can stink, it can bring you unimaginable pleasure, but you can't live without it.
Thank you, Michael. I see what you did there one last time.
You know,
I see that.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't trade our friendship for anything, Trevor.
Thank you so much for that, Michael. One last time, everybody. Heartfelt and incredibly disgusting sentiment. Michael Costa, everybody. Now let's go on to Desi Leidick, please. And tell me, Desi, that this for this last time, you're actually gonna do the weather. Please. Desi Leidick, everybody. Weather?
Nope. Trevor, okay. I am not here to do the weather. It's your last show. So on behalf of Paramount, Viacom, CBS, Comedy Central, Viacom Networks, and Paw Patrol Plus, I am here to do your exit interview.
What, right? Do we have to do that live on air?
No, but some of us are getting drinks after the show, so I gotta squeeze in now.
Wait, people are getting drinks? No one told me. Can I come?
First question. Over the 7 years of your employment here, what would you say is my best personality trait?
You mean my best personality trait?
Nope, mine.
Oh, I guess I'd say humility.
Yeah, I am amazing at that. I'll put down humility and great cheekbones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, next question. What will you miss most about me?
Okay, this is weird. Desi, if this is my exit interview, shouldn't the questions be about me and not you?
Well, why would they be about you? I'm the one who's staying. I mean, you're leaving us. Which is fine. It's fine. I mean, people abandon me all the time. I don't care. Why would I care, Dad? Point is, I'm the one staying. But just in case, would you mind writing me a letter of recommendation?
I gladly would, Desi. You know, I will write that you are one of the funniest and most gifted comedic actors I have ever known and had the pleasure of working with. And anyone who knows you is lucky to know you.
Trevor. Okay, fine. You can come to drinks with work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Lawrence, everybody. One of the funniest people I know, but one of the worst weather people I've ever worked with. And that's saying something. Now, here to give us our final lotto numbers, Dulce Sloan, everyone. All right, friend. Who's winning that money? What are the lotto numbers?
No. Listen. Hello, friends. Now, there's only one lotto winner tonight, and that is my friend, my light-skinned friend. My homie, Trevor Ezekiel Noah.
It's not Ezekiel, but I'll take it. I don't know why you keep saying Ezekiel to me.
I gave you the middle name Ezekiel because I don't know any African words. You taught me nothing!
Sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying.
You know African, they teach you African, but he just be speaking English all the time. Look at you. Leaving The Daily Show to go star in movies like them Hemsworth brothers.
Well, I don't actually have any movies lined up. I'm just leaving, that's all.
You what?
No, have you not been listening? This is what I said. This is a moment where I'm just taking time, you know? It's about me making time for family, for friends, to travel a little bit more.
Oh, you're doing a travel show! Okay! Okay, all right! See? That makes sense! Ooh, is it a safari show? Yeah, introducing us to your animal friends that you went to school with.
We didn't go to school with...
Ooh, you should do one about African people. Cause you know what I realized? I know more about meerkats than whoever the f*** lives in Tanzania.
That's what a lot of Americans tell me, actually. That's true. But I'm not actually leaving for I'm not leaving for a movie. I'm not leaving for, like, another show. I don't have anything lined up at the moment. It's just about this right now.
Wait a minute. So you're leaving a good job. You quitting a job without having another job? Lined up? You crazy? You don't leave a job. Job to do nothing? Wow, you really are half white. It's your boy Swiss Chocolate in the building.
Look, I hear what you're saying. I just think life isn't all about work, you know, and it's all about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. It's about exploration, it's about discovery, it's about fulfillment, you know?
Your fulfillment? You sound like a white girl doing a semester abroad. You know what we call a grown-ass man who doesn't have a job? Unemployed!
No, I won't be unemployed. I have many great things going on in my life.
Listen. You don't have to be proud with me, Trevor. You're my friend. Okay? You're one of my favorite people, and you're the reason that my mama don't work.
Thank you, Dulce. You know you're one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
And you know I really love your mom.
Listen, my mama loves you too, and I always have to break her heart to tell her that we're just friends. Now, since you're about to be the broke dick that I despise, you gon' need this lotto money. So I have fixed it so the winning numbers are one of the most important dates in our lives. The day that you were not met. So all you have to do is play those numbers. And the jackpot is yours, young man. Yes! Yes! Very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Because it's just the date that we met that we both remember.
Right, and as soon as you play those numbers of the day that we met, they will come up on the screen, and you're gonna win that money.
Yeah, I'll play them, because I remember them.
Right?
I remember them. It was to...
No.
To me, it was to me a day... You interrupted me. It was to me one of the most important moments. That's why I don't forget it. And that number sticks in my heart. And that number is 4.
No.
For many people.
Yes.
Why you and I work so well. Because we both know the number is 1.
No.
Of the people who've touched me the most in my life.
Yes.
Which is why I know the number is 10.
No.
Nessie is where you remind me of.
Tennessee? Negro, I'm from Georgia. You know what? I'll play them myself, because I also need this money. So, good luck being unemployed.
Don't say Sloan, everybody. I know the numbers. I know the numbers. I just want to win my own lottery. I know the numbers. All right. For one last time, let's turn to my good friend and favorite meme, Ronnie Chang, to see what's trending on social media. Ronnie Chang, what is trending on social media?
You wanna know what's trending? I'll tell you what's trending right now, Trevor. It's my feelings. Right, I can't believe you're leaving. It's like a part of my heart is being ripped out of my body and not in the cool Indiana Jones way, right? With so many great times together. You're like a brother to me, and not like in the way black guys say it. I mean, like, actually like a family brother who happens to be black, kind of.
Ronnie, Knowing you, knowing how not emotional you are, I just want you to know I appreciate that. Yeah.
No. For real though. No joke. I just want to say thank you for everything. You changed my life. You saved me from having to work with amateur producers from Australia and Singapore. I mean, at the time when you're starting the show, you had closer friends than me who were more talented than me. But you said, no, I want this Chinese guy because you were adamant about having Asian representation on the show. And I really appreciate it. And the whole time here, it felt like it was just the two of us immigrants just coming together to tell Americans what was wrong with them, which they always appreciate.
Thank you, Ronnie. You know, I didn't expect that from you, and I feel like you're gonna make me cry. Yeah.
I got you, you gullible f***. You bought all that shit. Dude, of course I can go on without you. I'm in multiple tentpole movie franchises thanks to this show. You think you can sink me? I didn't even know it was your last episode until this morning. The whole world's like, I got Trevor, oh my God, you're a beacon of light in the darkness. Hey, this is a show on Comedy Central, all right? We just had someone try to kiss a butthole like 2 minutes ago. Get over yourself. I can't believe you thought I was serious.
No, I didn't think. I knew you were kidding, Ronnie. Good one, Ronnie.
But in all seriousness, on behalf of everyone watching right now, and from the bottom of my heart, can I be the new host?
Ronnie Chang, everybody! I'll get back to you on that. I'll get right back to you. I'm just gonna remember the beautiful parts of what he said. For our final traffic report, let's go to my very good friend, the OG from the very beginning, who did this with me when nobody thought we could, Redwood Jr., everybody! What's going on, Roy? What's going on, Roy?
I've been thinking about this, bro. You know, you ain't gotta leave the country. You can just go over to Good Morning America and host over there. The light-skinned dude over there in a lot of trouble. They might have a
opening. All right, Roy, I'm not getting involved. Let's just do the traffic.
Hey, man, listen. Before I do the traffic, just this is the last time, you know, you and me. You can come clean.
Come clean about what? Clean.
Just admit it. You ain't African for real. You're not African.
What are you talking about?
What the hell I'm talking about? I used to run credit cards back in 96 in Birmingham with a dude who looked just like you. Your name was Slippery J. Your hair was a little shorter back then, and I've been keeping my mouth shut about it because we had a good thing going right here, you know. But the people deserve to know the truth about you, Slippery. Tell the truth, man.
Roy.
You from Birmingham.
No, Roy, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never lived in Birmingham, dude.
Oh, my God. Look, you don't have to say it like that no more, Birmingham. Just say Birmingham. That's what the city is. You remember. Come on, Slippery. You remember running the hustle at Walmart, the credit card?
What?
It was you, it was me, it was Ramrod, Big Mix, Bahama Joe, Two Bone, Fat Matt. And we tried to jump that fence, and when we jumped the fence, the security was running after me. And then Two Bone shit his pants, and we had to take our pants off, so we had to give Two Bone our pants. Then we didn't have no pants. You remember? We didn't have no pants. You gonna look me in the eyes and tell me that you wasn't with me at the Walmart on Lakeshore Parkway in 1996.
Okay, firstly, why did both of you have to give him your pants if he shed his pants?
Don't change the subject on me right now, Slippery J. How about this? Look, if you're really from Africa, why you be talking all British then?
I don't understand what that means.
Oh, I'm from Africa. Cheerio, the child, the queen, all the beans, and the gibbelers in the jabla, all the gibbelers in the gibbelers. Ain't no African sound like that, man. If you're gonna put on a fake accent, at least make it sound accurate. What you're doing is offensive. It's disrespectful.
Okay, Roy, it's not a made-up accent. Why would I pretend to be African?
Look, man, I'm not judging you, man. Look, we all do it. Everybody lie to get the job, bro. Looking black, sounding British, that's how you get the job. You lie. I lied to get this job, man. I don't know shit about Excel. I told them people that I killed Bin Laden. I said, whatever it takes. That's how you play the game, man. But just be real with me, bro. Be real with me. It's
Roy.
Been 7 years.
Roy.
You're not African.
Roy.
You're a regular
Roy.
Ass dude.
Roy. Just. Roy, look at me. Roy. I am really African. Okay?
Whatever, man. Either way, we had a good run.
We did.
It's a good run.
It's been amazing for me.
Yeah, and I'm.
You've been my dude from day one, and you know this.
Yeah.
We've been having a ton of fun together. Every iteration of the show.
Yeah.
And let's make sure we keep in touch, keep hanging out.
That's what's up.
You know, we're real friends. You know. I mean, you never know. Maybe we can get together, steal some credit cards and shit like the old times. You know?
Bitch, I knew it was
no,
you.
No.
Slippery J.
No.
Slippery.
What would you say, buddy? I don't know what he's talking about.
I knew it was you.
Roy Wood Jr., everyone. And Trevor Noah from Africa. All right, well, I guess that's everyone. And
aren't you forgetting someone, Trevor?
Oh, wow!
Yeah. Someone you'd send out every other week to the heart of America to almost get murdered by QAnon psychopaths.
Jordan Klepper, you're still alive.
I am still alive, yes. Barely. Trevor, I wanted to come out here. Thank you for your candor, your wit, your intelligence, and to offer you one final goodbye. But I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
I thought it'd be better if the folks of New York did that. I wanted to give New Yorkers a chance to weigh in on Trevor's departure, so I bravely went to the only place more intense than a MAGA rally, Midtown Manhattan, during the holidays.
Move! Thank you.
Trevor is leaving.
How does that make you feel?
Sad. Extremely sad.
Have you heard Trevor Noah's leaving?
The black guy?
He is a black guy.
Yeah.
I'm sad. He has been such a signature. He went through COVID with all of us. That was such an important part, like just seeing him on his house and you, everybody being depressed, but just he being on TV was such a wonderful thing.
You know it's Trevor's final show.
Yep.
How's that make you feel?
Everything ends, hopefully, our buddy ends.
You talking about Trevor? You want Trevor to die?
No.
Okay,
no,
I misunderstood.
No,
what I like about Trevor is you have to be able to laugh at all sides of everything now. I don't want to watch something where they only snap on one person. Let's snap on Biden, let's snap on Trump, let's snap on everybody.
Everybody deserves a snap.
Everybody deserves it. That's New York.
Trevor Noah is leaving the show.
How do you feel about that?
Sad.
Yeah?
I feel like he was the best correspondent.
Trevor's the most talented thing on that show.
Yes.
But there's other talented people who are on the show currently.
Yes.
There's Trevor.
There's Trevor.
There's other correspondents.
There are.
Your favorite might be?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon is not a correspondent on The Daily Show. That is, he has a totally different show.
I know.
Yeah, I'm talking about, there's other people who work on The Daily Show who are equally talented.
That's all I know.
Trevor's the only one you know. You know. Jordan Klepper doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Doesn't ring a bell. Right. Not even. That's the guy who goes out, puts his life on the line, multiple Emmy nominations.
No. I just love Noah.
You just love Noah?
Yes.
You could be confronted with Jordan Klepper and you wouldn't know.
No, but I would still talk to him.
You'd still talk to him.
Fortunately, some fans do more than others.
What's your favorite Trevor Noah segment?
Between the scenes. I think that's beautiful because you see a really human side of a celebrity, you know, just being human with New Yorkers and human with life.
Trevor's covered a lot of interesting, important moments.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a favorite police shooting that he's covered, which one would it be? Like your favorite lighthearted moment from COVID. 2 minutes to count.
I'm
right?
Sorry.
Is today the day?
Yeah, just got married.
Oh, you guys are embarking on something new. What advice do you have for somebody else who's also embarking on something new?
Always talk things through.
So like with a close friend or a colleague or somebody.
Yeah.
Talk to them before you make the biggest decision of your life. It's the smart thing to do. Your fans, Trevor is retiring today.
And where is he going now?
Yeah. He's going to open a candy shop in Rhinebeck.
Okay.
I think. I'm just guessing. He won't tell anybody what he's doing.
But do you know where he's going? What is he doing?
It is unclear. I know he always likes soccer. I don't know how easy that is to get into. It feels like anybody can do it. So maybe.
Got it.
What is he going to be doing next, you know?
I think he's going to Ukraine. Whether it's stand up
worries. Fighting?
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to that.
I look forward to seeing him as he hits the road, potentially, and stops in Tampa, because I know he does that occasionally.
So you want Trevor to come to Tampa?
Absolutely. I want him to come to me.
That's white privilege right there. A black man retires after long, long years of work, and you're like, please come to me, make me laugh?
Trevor, the truth is, the word on the street was loud and clear.
Trevor, thank you very much.
Trevor, we will miss you.
Trevor, we love you.
Trevor, we're going to miss you so much. You are the best.
Bis bald. Kommt bald zurück. I said, yeah, well, see you soon. Come back soon.
You're not like trolling us and through some
school. Oh, absolutely not.
Good luck, and thank you for keeping us a little bit more safe.
Have fun at the candy shop.
Yo, Trevor, you're the man. Whatever you do, congratulations. Keep it real. And with everybody.
Trevor, I wish you the best. You're awesome. Thank you for all your work. Go make fun the world.
I was going to say, like, exactly that verbatim. Go make fun of the world.
Wow. Short and Trevor, everybody.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for that. Wow. And one last time, to all the correspondents, please give it up one more time, everybody. Every single one of the correspondents. Single one of them. Desi Leidig, Ronnie Chang, Michael Costa, Dulce Sloan, Warwick Jr. Thank you so much. Give it up, everybody, for the best fake news team in history, everybody. Look at these people. Look at these people. Keep watching them. They're funny. They're amazing. I couldn't have done this without them. I didn't want to do it without them. We're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break, and after that, I'll be talking to my good friend, Neil Brennan. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome back to the very final episode of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. That's right, just a few more hours before I fly back home to Africa. Rafiki's holding up the new kid. We've all got to be there. It's a thing. But before I go, I wanted to hang out one more time with my good friend, Neil Brennan. He's a three-time Emmy-nominated writer, director, producer, and stand-up comedian. His latest Netflix special, Blocks, is streaming right now on Netflix, and tickets for his national brand-new Neil tour are on sale on neilbrennan.com. Please welcome my good friend, Neil Brennan.
Hey,
Neil Brennan. A lot of people don't know how many of the stories in this building started outside of the building. You know, we worked together on this show, but I've known you. How long have I known you now?
I think it's 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah. We were both in Denver doing comedy.
No, that's not where we met. You know where we actually met?
We met at the comedy store.
We met at the comedy store in L.A., and I remember watching you, and I was like, you are a very funny person. And I'd seen your Twitter at the time. That's when people were still telling jokes on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I was like, you're Neil Brennan. I was like, you're really funny. And we spoke a little bit, and you were just like, who, what is this? What is happening right now? A lot of people gave me that. You know? But you weren't mean. You were just confused.
Yeah.
And then we chatted for a little bit, and then I said, oh, I'll follow you. And then I followed you on Twitter, and then I remember the next time we spoke, you sent me a message because you said, hey, who the hell are you?
because I have a whole bunch of exclamation marks and Africans in my mentions right now. Because there's, I remember because one of my friends followed you, Kolisa, and you were like, that's not possible.
Yeah, I can't even say that.
And that's actually how we became friends.
Yes.
I brought Africans into your life.
Yeah, thank you. I never met one before you. All right, so no, the story I like to tell is, so 10 years ago, we worked in Denver. You were at the Improv.
No, I wasn't. I never played.
Where were you?
I was at, it was called like a Funny Bone, or it was a...
So not even an Improv.
I'd never played any of the premium clubs.
We were there for the weekend. Yes. We were both getting $300 a show.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm pretty big in South Africa and Europe. And I was like, get out of here. Like, literally get out of here. And he got out of here. He literally left.
You're not doing it a service, though. You're not doing... Neil makes it sound like he's, like, grumpier than he is. What happened was, we didn't know we were both in town.
Yes.
And then I saw a post, and I was like, Neil's here. Yeah, I was like, oh, let's meet. And then we met...
One of your South African friends, like, you know, I was in Denver. Yeah.
And so then we were like, let's meet, and we're gonna grab some food. And we met downtown Denver. And we're eating at this little spot, and it was tacos, I don't know what it was, and we're having a meal, and we're chatting about how hard it is being on the road, how we're both getting $300, and that you still have to pay your own airfare, and it basically equals nothing when you get back home, right? And then you said to me, I don't get why you're doing this, because you're huge back home. And I was like, yeah, but I love this. And you're like, you're delusional. And then you said, what's your dream? And I said, I just want to keep doing comedy and have as much fun as possible. And you said, well, America doesn't tolerate people with accents on TV, so you should leave.
And at that time, I was correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. In my defense, once Oliver started doing good, I literally called you and said...
I will never forget this.
I said, come back.
I'll never forget that call.
And now the thing that people don't know is 3 months I called you and was like, all right, that's enough.
That's not true. You've been here from the beginning. You know, what I've loved about your journey, because this is not about me, it's also about you, is you know, a lot of people know Neil as one of the smartest, funniest people you ever work with in the comedy industry. He's worked with the greatest comedians you can imagine. You know a great comedian, he's worked with them in some way, shape, or form. He is slowly turning into, in my opinion, one of the most unique and funny and original comedians that are out there. And like, I've watched your journey. Your new special on Netflix is phenomenal, because you're not just doing comedy, but you know, you're creating different types of shows. You're enjoying it, you're playing with it. And your new special, Blocks, I've told you this personally, but it's amazing, it's funny. People have commented on how heartbreaking and funny it is, how poignant and honest it is. Because you break down what it means to be a liberal, how you try and identify yourself, how we as people don't communicate anymore, what it means to grow up in a household where parents didn't know how to love you, what abuse was. It feels like it's such
it
a vulnerable...
It sounds hilarious.
That's my point. But that's my point. Like, who would think, that's the show that I'm gonna make, and it will be hilarious.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. I'm the final guest on The Daily Show, so that's pretty cool. No, it worked out. I had the idea for the show, and it is about the ways I don't feel like I fit in. Even, like, recycling, I don't know how to do correctly. Like, whenever I throw something away and it's in one of those garbage cans, it's got, like, a garbage hole, a recycling hole, and a compost hole, I do my best, but afterward, I'm like, I don't think I did that right. Like, that happens kind of across the board in my life. I'm not married. I don't have kids. Like, I don't eat meat. I don't drink them. I'm kind of an outlier in a lot of ways. But I am very funny.
You are indeed.
But I figured out a way to synthesize it into a show. Can I talk about your new Netflix special?
Oh, well, yes, you can.
Sure.
Now that you're here.
Yeah.
Now that you're here.
No, I told you I thought it's one of the probably my favorite special of yours.
Yeah, which you never say.
Yeah, I'm.
No, and I mean this in a good way. Yeah, like, yeah. You're not one of those people who just says words like favorite, best, I like.
Oh, amazing.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
But it really, to me, was like your strongest, cleanest,
thank you,
best material.
Thank you very much. It was hard for both of us because, and not just us, many comedians, many touring artists, many, like, everyone from people who are running, you know, building the stages. Everyone was struggling because of COVID. You know, people couldn't go to offices, et cetera, but touring was decimated. You know, everyone we worked with was gone. Building a show was really hard. I wonder if you went through the same thing, because I was panicking about whether or not I'd be able to make the show what it was. And then you were also building a show when everyone was wearing masks. No one could even sit together.
Yeah.
Like, was that hard
for
you?
Well, I didn't know how much to talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell if people wanted to hear it or didn't want to hear it.
It was both.
I know.
Yeah.
So
well,
I would
like,
do
it was over, don't say anything, but what is your joke?
Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah. So I had a couple like fast jokes up front, and then I would just get into the show, because I think people want you to acknowledge it, but they don't want to harp on it to bums them out.
I'd love to know, from the first time you and I hung out on the show and spoke about depression, mm-hmm. we spoke about, you know, anxiety, we spoke, you know, it's the stuff comedians talk about. I'd love to know if you feel like you've healed a lot more, if you've grown a lot more, and for people who've been on a similar journey to you, what some of your best advice for them
would be? I've done a ton of stuff. I did a thing called TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation for depression, that was really helpful. I did ketamine. Did you?
The ketamine therapy?
Ketamine therapy.
Okay.
I didn't just do
it. Yeah, it sounds like you just did it at a party. That's what it sounded like you did it. I did ketamine.
Yeah.
I got drunk. I got lit. I got turned.
It really helped. So ketamine, TMS, ayahuasca. I'll do anything. But I feel like you've done stuff also. This is another way in which we connect.
I think therapy is amazing. I think you should always be working on yourself. But like, you've always been the person who's gone, I'm a tortured soul and there's no hope. You say that in your comedy, right? Uh-huh. And I feel like over the years, I've seen a glimmer of hope in your eyes.
I'm a little sunnier than I used
to be. You are a little sunnier.
I know.
You are.
I know. It's pretty cute.
It is.
Got a burgundy suit? Come on, what do you want?
So to that, not to be too mushy, but to that Neil Brennan who's sitting out there right now and goes, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I don't think anybody in the world loves me, I don't think there's any future for me. What do you say to them?
Just keep saving your money. And invest in a Roth IRA. No, just keep trying. That's the thing, is because it is the thing with depression and anxiety and all these mental health things, they don't really know what does what.
Yeah.
So you have to keep trying and not get too discouraged about if one thing doesn't work, mm-hmm. then you're broken or screwed or whatever. Like, you know, you just try another thing. It's like stand-up, where you just do a joke and it's like, oh, you don't like that? All right, we'll
try another one.
Yeah. And just go on and on and on. Do I worry for you? Yeah, I have some worries. I worry what's going to happen when you wake up tomorrow at 1 in the afternoon. Do you realize that you're not going to be the host of The Daily Show anymore? Yeah, you're just going to be a best-selling author who does comedy in sold-out arenas around the world. Hashtag pray for Trevor. So, buddy, it is my great honor on behalf of everyone here and at home to give you your flowers.
Aww. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Also, as someone quitting a job in America, you're about to lose your health insurance, so you should probably sign up for Cobra. I brought all the necessary forms. Love you, buddy. Congratulations. Trevor Noah, everybody.
Neil Brennan, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're right. I don't like smoking.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Thank you again for being here, everyone. This has been fun.
This is really cool. Thank you. One last time. I don't know if I mentioned, it is my final show, final episode of the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And don't be sad. I know a lot of people are sad, but please don't be sad. You should be happy that an African leader is peacefully leaving power. That's never a guarantee. That's never a guarantee. It's really hard to believe it's been 7 years at the desk, you know? I was thinking, everyone asks me about that. I say, it's 7 years. Can you believe it? It doesn't feel like 7 years, you know? Well, not all at the desk. Obviously, I went home in between. You know? Yeah, but still, it's been a wild ride, you know? And some of the people I work with, some of you have been asking me between the scenes, what have you learned at your time in America, Trevor? What have you learned at your time? And, you know, I would never pretend to understand America, you know, in the relatively short time I think I've been here. I don't think I know much about anything the more I learn, funny enough. But when I thought about it, I realized there were three main lessons that I've learned in my time, you know, being privileged enough to host the show that you've been wonderful enough to watch. And the first lesson I learned is something that took me a long time to realize. Issues are real, but politics are just an invented way to solve those issues. You know, don't ever forget that. You know, I in the very beginning also got sucked into the whole Republican, Democrat, and you know, it's like, oh, this is the way it should be, as a Republican, Democrat. Yet, it's not actually the way it should be. It's not even the way it is. It's not a binary. They're not just two ways to solve any problem. They're not just two ways to be. You know, I'm eternally grateful to a man who I met as a stranger, funny enough, and he said something really beautiful to me. We're walking through Harlem, and he said, you know, Trevor, one of the greatest lies they tell you in America, they tell you that America is two political parties, Republicans and Democrats. And he said, but I'll tell you now, it's Republicans, Democrats, and it's black people and every other person of color who's trying to make a name or do something for themselves. And that stuck with me, and it made me think about American politics differently. Made me realize that we get tricked a lot of the time, not just in America, but everywhere in the world, into liking or not liking something based more on the tribe that it comes from, the tribe that it emanates from, than what the idea actually is. You know, it's whether they put that little R or that D next to somebody's name in a newspaper article that defines how you feel about it, when in fact, somebody that you may not agree with on most things can do something that you like. They could do something that you agree with. And I think as we live in a society where we increasingly introduce ourselves with the things that separate us, we forget that real friendships come from the similarities, and then the disagreements are how we polish each other as human beings. I'm not saying you'll agree with everyone, don't get me wrong. It's not like kumbaya and everything works. I'm not saying that, but, you know, just remember that. You know, like Trump did prison reform, you know, I'm not saying now you should like him, but it doesn't mean you have to hate the prison reform that he did. You know, you could be like, I hate this guy, but I'm not going to be there like, Your Honor, I should get a longer sentence because Trump did this shit. Issues aren't Democrat or Republican. That's all I'm saying, and that's all I wish I could have said a lot more clearly on the show. But sometimes in the country, the way the news is told, the way it's delivered to you, it makes it feel that way. But it's not. Clean water isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. Affordable housing isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. I don't care what party you are. You're probably struggling to pay for your rent. You're probably struggling to own a house or to buy something. Crime is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It's oftentimes something that New York Times just reports on because they listen to everything the police say. But that's another story for another day. You know, politics has transformed into a giant game of football, it feels like. And just like football, it, you know, turns everybody's brains to mush. But don't forget that. Every time you think of an issue, don't think of it through the lens of Republican and Democrat. Forget that for a moment. Think about it as a human being, and then figure out which person in power is actually trying to do what you think needs to be done about that issue.
You know? The second lesson I learned is never forget that context matters. You know, never forget how much context matters. I feel like we live in an age of limitless information right now, but we never seem to acknowledge that there's a shortage of context. You know, in many ways, it's why I started doing Between the Scenes. I realized in the short time I have on the show, there's only so much I can convey as a message. And, you know, that message is, I understand, distilled and synthesized for people, but we process everything in bytes. And we don't realize that we have a lot of information, but we don't have the context that is so necessary for us to to process that information, which is so important. Context is everything. It's truly everything. We have information, though. We know about a flood in Pakistan in a way that we never would have known before. We know about protests in Iran. We know about what the troop movements are in Ukraine. We know about a drought in parts of, you know, Sudan. We know all of these things. You know, we know who Pete Davidson is dating now, you know. Sometimes I feel like we know it before he does, you know. Yeah, he's just like, what, I am sweet. But yeah, but we don't have the context oftentimes when we make a decision, is what I started realizing. You know, we see a clip, a video, it's designed to make us angry, we respond to it accordingly. We don't know how it started, we don't know how it ended. We don't know what the actual story is. And context is so important for everything, for every conversation, if you think about it, in life, you know? See it, makes you angry, you don't wonder why it makes you angry, you don't even know if it was designed to make you angry. I've realized it's so important to protect yourself from that. Try and find the context wherever you can. Ask as many questions. And it may slow you down in being able to make a decision. It may slow you down in being able to form a take, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't have an opinion immediately. Maybe we should wait and see what happened. See what the context is. You don't know what the video is. You know, we all see these videos. So that video of that raccoon attacking that little girl. It was terrible. But we don't know what she did to the raccoon. You know? Maybe she sold the raccoon some cocaine and wasn't cocaine. And the raccoon was like, shit, this is flour. Ah! You know? I think context is everything. And I've experienced it in many ways firsthand. I remember when I started the show, you know, there were so many people, they hated me. Genuinely hated me. They hated the idea. They hated how I looked. They hated my hair. They hated my accent. They hated everything about me, my point of view, everything. And then I look 7 years later, and now those people still hate me, but for the right reasons now, because now they know me. They understand me. And obviously, there's people who love me, and I appreciate all of you who come out and enjoy the show with me. But just remember, without context, nothing makes sense. Whether it's international traditions, norms, customs, we all think it's normal because we are in the place that we're in, but as the world becomes smaller, we're also gonna compress everything that we think is right and is normal, and it's gonna create a little bit of tension. You know, there isn't one way, and we don't know what the one way is. You know, context, people, please just don't forget that. It's like how if you joke about your own mom, then it's funny, right? But if I joke about your mom, then it's hilarious, there's a difference. You know? And I guess the final lesson I learned at the show, and I learned it not at the show, but because of the show and the news I was covering, is please don't forget that the world is a friendlier place than the internet and the news will make you think.
Yes.
Just don't forget that. You know, I've been really lucky to go out and, you know, my comedy has taken me to places and to people. I've been lucky enough to do comedy from Florida all the way through to, you know, Washington State. I've been lucky enough to travel around the world and meet people. And people are a lot friendlier than social media would have you believe. You know, I've had people who are Republican voters who come to my show because even their kids brought them and they go, I didn't know I would laugh and I had a good time and I may not agree with you, but maybe this, but they see me as a human. Maybe I talk to them, I see them as a human in a way that we didn't before. People are a lot friendlier than they'll have you believe. The news is designed to tell you what is happening, and generally what is bad is what's going to make news, but not everything is bad. You know, some old ladies aren't just being punched everywhere in New York City at every corner, you know? Sometimes they're punching people. People are a lot better than they'll have you think. You know, we're all human beings, we're all trying to get somewhere, and at the end of the day, we're all just trying to smash.
And I think the most important lesson my time at this show has taught me is gratitude. You know, it's taught me to be grateful. You know, grateful for everything that I have that I don't even realize I have. You know, grateful to the wonderful people who helped me make every single episode of the show. I always tell the people I work with, I go, you know, I wish you could be with me all the time when I meet people who enjoy the show and they go, great show. And I'm like, yeah, but I wish they could see that as well. You know, they could experience that. And then they could also get the death threats too. we should share these things is what I'm saying. You know? Yeah, but thank you to all of them. It's crazy when people ask me, like, how did this, it was a wild journey. It was the craziest journey that I didn't predict, I didn't expect, you know. I got a call from a man by the name of John Stewart, and I'll never forget this call. I was in London doing my first tour of the UK. It was such an exciting moment for me. I was thrilled. I'd wanted to travel and do comedy for so long, and my phone rang, and didn't know what the number was, and I answered. And the voice on the other end said, hey, Trevor, how are you? My name is Jon Stewart. I host a comedy show in America called The Daily Show. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I know what The Daily Show is. And he was like, as you should, young man, as you should. he was very funny. It was like, you know, go in and out of, you know, it's like being taking himself seriously and then not at all. And we had this great conversation where he invited me, said, I've seen your comedy online, you know, and I think it was the executive producers basically brought me to John's attention, you know, Jen Flans, Adam Lowitz, Steve Bodo helped me make the show. And they said, John, you got to see this kid. You've got to do something with him. And John liked me and he said, yeah, let's do something. You know, I see you in me. And I was like, ha. Huh. It's an interesting one. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I've always felt like I'm Jersey. I get it. You know, but it's been wild. And then I called my two best friends, my two best creative friends who I've been working with for a long time, David Meyer and David Kibuka. And I said, one of them from North Carolina, you know, cowboy and guru at the same time. Fantastic filmmaker. I called him. I said, yo, Dave, we got to do this. And then my friend David Kibuka from South Africa, I was like, you want to go to America? And he's like, for how long? I was like, for as long as they'll allow us, man. I need you and we can do this thing together. And he's like, well, all right, let's see what happens. and we've been seeing what happens ever since. And so I say thank you to all of those people. There's so many thank yous. Like I said, my first bosses are sitting right here, the people who gave me the job, sitting right here. You know, Michelle gave me Doug Herzog. You know, some who aren't here, Sarah and Kent. The ride we went through together, that was ridiculous. People asked them if they were crazy. They were like, are you crazy? Who the hell is, what are you doing? Why would you give him this job? You know? And I even asked them, I was like, why would you give me this job? Yeah, and they're like, we see something in you and we'll ride with you. And you did. I want to thank you over and over again. You rode with me when nobody else would. You could have fired me when people were pressuring me. You could have not seen it when I didn't even see it, but yeah, and we've kept up ever since, you know. All the people have been truly grateful, all the way through to my new team of bosses, you know, led by Chris McCarthy and the team, Kais and Nina and everyone else, you know. Where they were like, you know, they were the first ones to say, hey, the Daily Show is your world, but it doesn't have to be your only world. Let's make projects together. Let's produce other content. Let's create for the correspondents. Let's, you know, get Jordan doing specials. Let's get Desi doing specials. And, you know, now the people are Emmy nominated. I'm so proud of that and I'm so grateful to every single one. But honestly, most importantly, I'm grateful to you. Every single one of you. I'm so grateful. I remember when we started the show, we couldn't get enough people to fill an audience. And you know, I always think it's good. That's how comedy is, funny enough. I remember all my shows, people didn't, there weren't tickets, at, you know, everyone, there were empty seats. And then I look at this now, I don't take it for granted, ever. Every seat that has ever been filled to watch something that I'm doing, I always appreciate, because I know the empty seat that sits behind it. So thank you. Thank you to the people who watch, the people who share the clips, you know, everyone who's had an opinion, everyone who's been kind enough and gracious enough to, you know, whether even if it's a critique, doesn't even have to be praise, but some people who watch, I don't like it when you do this, but I watch. I want to say I appreciate those people. Even the people who hate watched, we still got the ratings, thank you. I'm eternally grateful to you. And this is random for some, but special shout out to black women. I've often been credited with, you know, having these grand ideas of people like, oh, Trevor, you're so smart and you're so, and then I'm like, who do you think teaches me? You know? Who do you think has shaped me, nourished me, informed me? You know, from my mom, my grand, you know, my aunt, all these black women in my life. But then in America as well, I always tell people, if you truly want to learn about America, talk to black women. Yeah. Because unlike everybody else, black women cannot afford to f*** around and find out. Black people understand how hard it is when things go bad, especially in America, but any place where black people exist, whether it's Brazil, whether it's South Africa, wherever it is, when things go bad, black people know that it gets worse for them. But black women in particular, they know what shit is, genuinely. People always be shocked. They'll be like, why do black women turn out the way they do in America? Why do they vote the way? Yeah, because they know what happens if things do not go the way it should. They cannot afford to f*** around and find out. And to black women who have taught me, all of them, I mean, the scholars online, the, you know, the authors, everybody, the Roxane Gays, the Tressie McMillan Cottoms, the, you know, I'll remember the names, you know, the Zoe Tsamudzis, the, like, brilliant, brilliant women. They've taken the time to inform me, to educate me, to argue with me, you know, the Tarana Burks who, you know, laughed with me, talking about everything from sexual assault to just what life is like. Yeah, man, I'll tell you now, do yourself a favor. You truly want to know what to do or how to do it, or maybe the best way or the most equitable way? Talk to black women. They're a lot of the reason that I'm here, and so I'm grateful to them. I'm grateful to every single one of you. This has been an honor, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Well, that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Every single night that you do, thank you for coming out in person. I'm gonna step out to go and buy some cigarettes, but I'll be right back right soon.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast. Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.